praise you. Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we praise you. Jesus, we give you all the glory, all the honor. Holy Spirit, we love you. Holy Spirit, we praise you. Holy Spirit, we give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor today. Holy Spirit, would you open up our hearts? Would you open up our hearts to receive the word of God today? Would there be an open heaven over this community and over this church? In the name of Jesus, we declare, as the song says, freedom in the house. We thank you, Lord, that you've come to set the captives free. Jesus, we love you. Whoa. Jesus, we adore you. Jesus, we praise you. Jesus, we're here because you're here. And we love you, and we love to be in the presence of Father. So, Lord, for this time we have left today, may it be a meaningful, monumental time as we open our ears and open our hearts to hear what God has for us today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We thank the guys up here. God bless you all. Amen. It's grand to be with you today. I haven't really left Mossvale. I was in Mossvale last week as well, just a different country, but it was still in Mossvale. So it's good to see you all today. Hallelujah. How are you? It's quieter here than it is there, Pastor Debbie. It's a lot noisier over there. But you are still, we are all still children of God. So it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Have you been challenged by the Beatitudes? I'll say that again. Have you been challenged by the Beatitudes? See, here's the problem. Here's the problem with the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes demand change. And the reason why men flee from Jesus, this is when they hear these scriptures, they know that something in their life has to change. And rather than embrace change, they run. We run away. We try to escape into a different world, a different zone, a different place. And this is how the Word of God works. You either are all in or you're not in at all. So when you go back to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll hear it one more time today, we are praying today that it goes in. And I know that Danny and Pastor Debbie have done an amazing job over the last couple of weeks, haven't they? Yeah. Praise God. So the scripture says in there, upon seeing the crowds, Jesus went up to the mountainside. And when he had sat down, his disciples came to him. At that point, Jesus opened his mouth and taught them. Praise God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And you, my brother, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are you, my dear sister, for blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. And it gets hard. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kind of evils against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. Are you having a laugh? For great is your reward in heaven. For as they've done to the prophets before you, so they will do unto you. And then Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how can its saltiness be restored? It is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Jesus says, you are the light of the world, hallelujah. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. No. Nor do you light your lamp and put it under a basket. No. You put the light on the lampstand so everybody in the house can see. In the same way, so let your light shine before men, so that men will see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Amen. He is saying some of the most ridiculous stuff out there. The next line he says is astonishing. I did not come to abolish the law and the prophets. No, I did not come to abolish them. I came to fulfill them. Bang! And then the crowd wondered, what does that mean? And I can imagine at that time, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel up in heaven saying, go on, Jesus. Go on. Tell them who you are. Let them know that you are the Messiah. You're not just some guy sitting here on the mount preaching a sermon. You are the sermon. That's what makes this different. These are not words. They are the I am and the I am. Talking the living word. Being the living word. And as he goes through, the reason why we avoid Matthew 5 right now, we're not going to avoid it here at Moss Vale, is he starts to go into all sorts of hot topics. The church is avoiding big time today. We won't avoid them. But we'll speak the same way that Jesus spoke about them. We'll speak about them with grace. And we'll speak about them with love and genuineness and honesty. See, the scripture says there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. But if you want to be different, you have to get hold of this. It has to go in deep into your life, or else you will remain the same. And that means we settle for mediocrity as a child of God. See, we start off here from being the least to becoming the greatest. That means that God is looking for in us a heart of humility in every one of us. To bow the knee, to be obedient, to surrender completely to God and give him everything we can possibly give him. We rise from being the least to be one of his greatest. And if you really want to make a difference for God, we have to take these scriptures, apply them, allow them to go into the deep recesses of our hearts and breathe them out. Breathe them out, knowing that when we adopt these things, there is a massive reward waiting for every single one of us. So we are tying up this series, the first part of this mountaintop series, by looking at this particular scripture. It's wonderful and rich and it's deep. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs, hallelujah, is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you, hallelujah, when people insult you. When people persecute you, listen, it says, and falsely say all kind of evils against you because of me. Jesus is sitting there saying, all of this, rejoice. Rejoice. Some of us have got a great life and we still cannot rejoice. In the worst of life's moment, Jesus is still saying, rejoice and be glad. For great is your reward. We spoke in week 4 of this word, righteousness. It's mentioned actually 5 times in the Sermon on the Mount. Why? Because that word righteousness, say righteousness, it seems is not just an attitude or an ambition, but a lifestyle. A lifestyle of righteousness that distinguishes us as true believers and will inevitably bring opposition from this world. This is what you are buying into. If you really are set to live for God, really set to live for God? I mean, let's put it this way. If we are to hunger and thirst after this kind of life, that's going to cause some people to persecute you and I for what we believe and for our faith. And so this final attitude here brings this beatitude to us, and it brings these tricky verses. So I want to say this. Let's make sure that today we do not misunderstand this teachings and what we take from it. Let's make sure we take it all to heart and recognize it's a word of encouragement, or at least it's intended to be a word of encouragement. And if the topic we're on today just sounds a little bit familiar to some of you, that's because in January 2021, we preached a series on the letters to the churches at Revelation. Remember that? Like the Beatitudes, there was there for each church a twofold statement. And for the churches, it was Jesus saying, "I know." See, he knows everything. He says, "I know," then offers some praise. Then he says, "But I have this against you," offers a rebuke where that rebuke is necessary. Then he says, "The one who has ears," just check yourself for them. I think we're all there. "Must pay attention to what he," the Holy Spirit, "says," followed by a promise relating to the end times, the final destiny, we could say, the soul and of humankind, of the return of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're watching and looking for that day. Back then, when we considered that message from Open Doors, I read this to you. I want to put this in again today. This is from Open Doors World Watch List. Hear this. See if we agree with this. The church is alive. Let me say it again. The church is alive. Praise God. The church is active. Amen. They say the church is growing. And they're saying that's why the church is persecuted. Because it's alive, it's active, and it's growing. They say the persecution of Christians is getting even more severe than ever, affecting increasing numbers of believers right around the world. They go on to say, "Understanding persecution will equip you and I to pray for our brothers and sisters who follow Jesus no matter the cost." In 2022, it goes on, 11 countries are currently categorized as having extreme levels of persecution. And there are over 50 other countries scoring very high or high levels of persecution. They say, in fact, at least 360 million Christians around the world experience high levels of persecution and discrimination. That's a massive 1 in 7 of the global Christian population. 5,898 Christians were murdered for their faith last year. Lord bless them. 5,100 churches and Christian buildings were attacked last year. And their statement says the global church is increasingly a refugee church. And this makes it even more vulnerable. More than 84 million people around the world have been forcibly displaced. Many of these are Christians fleeing persecution, with thousands more added to their number in 2021. Even where there is no active conflict, Christian refugees leave because they have simply had enough of the daily struggle against discrimination. You can look at www.opendoors.uk.org to look at that and check that out. I discovered this. There is no international legal definition of persecution. However, the World Watch List has a theological definition, and this is what it looks like. Any hostility experienced as a result of one's identification with Jesus. Wow. This can include hostile attitudes, words, and actions towards Christians. Or as verse 11 summarizes it, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kind of evils against you because of me. I kind of hope here at Moss Vale we kind of understand the word persecute. See, there are many religious voices in the Western world who would have highlighted where they see Christianity under attack, their God-given rights. Listen, friends, that is not persecution. I would say this. There are massive changes taking place in our society as we have now engaged in the end times. Listen to that. I'll say that again. There are massive, not subtle anymore, massive changes in our society as we have now engaged the end times, and how we are able to express ourselves in public forums is constantly evolving. It is changing all the time. Now, even the restrictions we endured because of this thing we call the pandemic. Can I say something to you? That was not persecution. That was not persecution. That wasn't even close to persecution. You know what the pandemic was for us? The pandemic was frustration. The pandemic was a blooming annoying. Absolutely inconveniencing, but that was what it was at its best. And they actually, but here's the great thing about this thing we call the pandemic. The great thing about all of that was this. It actually led to an increase in people engaging with church, with God, and ultimately people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. That worked. I know I'm going to ruffle your feathers because I have got the mic. And I'm going to put it this way. And you can disagree with this, and that's perfectly okay. As I prayed and fasted and waited this week, or while I was in Ghana actually, came to my thought or attention perhaps that perhaps much, particularly as we call it persecution in the West, much of the perceived persecution of the church, much of the ridicule, much of the slander, much of the rejection of our teachings is more likely to be down to the disobedience, the poor stewardship, the hidden sin, and all the other scandal that is attached to the church today. Just putting that out there. Listen to me. Our meekness, blessed are the meek, our mercifulness should mean that should you and I, and it will happen, should you and I come across people who seem to be coming against you and I in such a manner or treating us in such a manner, I want to say something to you today. Could we please take some time to consider if they actually have a point? Are you hearing this? Could we just take some time? Because here's where I am in my walk with God. I want to make, as your pastor, sure that I am absolutely saturated, soaked, absolutely drenched, absolutely draped in humility. I don't want to be one of those arrogant leaders who think what they know is right 100% of the time. I want to hear what God is saying 100% of the time. I want to know what people are saying to me 100% of the time. That's why Scripture says, let them have ears hear. Not only what the Spirit is saying, but what the church may be saying at the same time. Many churches have collapsed and folded because the pastors, leaders, were too arrogant to listen, to hear, to see what was actually going on. God forgive us if we've ever done that here. But let me tell you this. Persecution Real, authentic persecution is really what happens when you are a believer in the corner of some remote world where you are at risk for being killed for your faith. Where your faith means that you are denied education. Your faith means you are denied employment. And that is still happening every day that we live, every minute that goes by on planet Earth. And it is to these believers that Jesus speaks these words of life. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So just because you believe, now watch this. Just because you and I believe that people who ignore us, people who insult us, people who persecute us, people who falsely say all kind of evil against you, doesn't necessarily mean that you are right and they are wrong. Let me tell you why. Because much of these sermons, if not every one of these sermons on the Beatitude, hinges on the next three words. Because of you. Because of you. Who? Jesus. Because of you. People are not going to bother with me. People are not going to persecute me. People are not going to come against me and my faith if I don't believe in Jesus. If Jesus is not the centerpiece of my life, why would they bother about me? Why would they want to have anything to do with me? It's because of him. That's the difference. That is what's going on here. Jesus says in the end times, he says in Luke chapter 21, you will be betrayed by parents. Whoa. By brothers and sisters, relatives, friends. They will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you. Why? Because of Jesus. They will hate you because of me being Jesus. But then he says, but not a hair of your head shall perish, praise God. Stand firm and you will win life. Wonderful. Now if you're a little bit confused where it says they will put some of you to death, and then in the next line, not a hair of your head will perish, Jesus is talking here directly about the resurrection from the dead or of the dead. Because of what Jesus did, and we've sung this kind of today, because of what Jesus did, every single one of those ones will live again. Praise God. See, things are moving fast in the world, and not for the better. Things are changing in immorality. The spiral is out of control, downward. And this is where we need to know, is this real to me? If this is not real to you, you're not going to survive. You're not going to make it. Because when the first season of real testing comes, you're going to run for the hills. You're going to scatter abroad and run for the hills. Remember the words of Jesus in Matthew 10, verse 28. Jesus says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, amen. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Wow. Did you all hear that? Just me? Because sometimes I'm not sure if somebody's trying to get through to me. Here's what I'll say to you, though. I will not survive as a man of God. You will not survive as a woman of God unless you're completely surrendered to Jesus. And I mean surrendered. Complete and total obedience to him, that you're absolutely 100% into what Jesus is calling you to do and calling you to be. See, scripture says this regarding that only one can destroy both body and soul in hell. But here's what we know, we're moving towards Easter, praise God. Jesus, and we've sung this about Calvary, Jesus has triumphed over death, amen, praise God. And guess what? If Jesus has triumphed over death, so will you. Praise God. And that is the gospel message. So our paraphrase kind of looks like this. Blessed, listen to this, blessed are those daring enough to openly live for Jesus and suffer persecution, for they will receive the kingdom of heaven. Now we know the story of Saul. Saul persecuted the early church in Jerusalem before his conversion. Then years later, converted to Paul, he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says, "You, however, know all about my teachings, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance, my persecutions, my sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions that I went through on a day-to-day basis. Yet, look at scripture, yet the Lord showed up and rescued me from them all." Thank God. See, some of us are going to suffer. And the ones who suffer the most are the ones who've lain before the altar of God and says, "Lord, here I am, use me. Take my life. Use my life. Whatever way you want to use it, use my life for your glory." But here's the cool thing. When you do that, when you commit, when you go all in and you're going through a trial or a test or a season of your life, fear not, for the Lord will show up and he will rescue you and bring you through every time, every single time. In fact, he goes on to say, everyone who wants to live a righteous or godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now listen, when we look at the centuries of human history, and this has been the case, we see people like Stephen and Peter and Paul, nearly every single one of the apostles, many Christians in the Roman era suffered martyrdom. And as we move through the generations, we see oppressive governments. We see endless conflicts over the centuries that we see the same martyrs, those who stood for their faith, those who believed in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They endured, they suffered, and many died for the gospel. But the Lord promises that those who suffer for his sake will be rewarded with the kingdom of heaven. Amen. So Jesus says, I don't know whether he's laughing under his breath sometimes when he knows what he's going to say. I've said all this. Then he says, "Hey guys, rejoice. Be glad. Rejoice. Be glad." And they're saying, "Come on." And that's his disciples. "Come on. Lord, you know what you've just said." But he's saying, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heavens, for so men persecuted the prophets who were before you." And as we look at that first glance, it sounds ridiculous. It's crazy. Jesus is saying that when we suffer, we should rejoice. We should be glad. Why? He's saying this, because you are joining a long line of incredible great men and women of God who went before you and suffered for the kingdom of God too. And he's encouraging them, you can be like them. Wow. You can be like them. Like the prophet Jeremiah. Now he was called the weeping prophet for good reason. For good reason. He was ridiculed, he was ejected and rejected, he was imprisoned, beaten, persecuted for years, and he continuously poured out his heart to God, one complaint after another complaint, wondering, what is the point of my life? And we've all thought that. We've all thought that. And then God really gave him the most simple, little, eternal perspective. Jeremiah 21 verse 8. I love this. Doesn't look any simpler than this. "Tell the people, the Lord says, I'm offering you a choice. You can choose the way that leads to life, or you can choose the way that leads to death. Now, can you imagine that being Jeremiah? Woe is me, you know. I'm having a rough time, a hard time. I am wanting some kind of adequate intellectual response from God, but God just shows up and says the same thing, that way or that way. No middle road, that way or that way, take your pick. Luke wrote in Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Let me say this one first. Paul tells us in Romans 8, verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing, hallelujah, with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Glory to God. And then Luke wrote in Acts chapter 14, verse 22, that their purpose involved strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to their faith. He says, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Praise God. How tempting it is to give up. See, being a real, genuine believer, that's the ones who rise above the petty nonsense of life. Hello. Just let that sink in for a minute. We don't do petty at Moswell, do we, Pastor Daddy? Give us the real stuff. We can take it. Doing this, living for God, is never going to be easy. Never going to be easy. Listen, even once a month, I feel like giving up. Then Gail slaps me. She says, grow up, Pastor. Then I remember what 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17 says to me. He says, Hugh, for your light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. You see, we keep on following Jesus. This is the challenge. We keep on following Jesus. Why do I keep on following Jesus? Do you want to know why? Because I don't really belong here. I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about the world. I don't really belong here in that sense. The Bible tells us many, many times, this world is not my home. Just hanging out here, doing a job for Jesus while we're here. You see, if you're a true believer, then you're called to be different. You're called to be set apart. You're called to be holy as he is holy. 1 Peter 4 verse 16 says, however, if you suffer as a Christian or believer, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear his name. What is that name? It is Jesus. That's the name. We've sung it all morning above every other name. And so if you today can honestly say that you're a faithful follower of Jesus, if you truly have allowed your life to be set apart, if you really believe I can make a difference because I am different, Jesus promised us that the world, listen to me, deal with this, the world will hate us and the world will persecute us. Jesus says in John 15, if they persecute me, they will persecute you. Would you stand with me? I'm going to close up here. Thank you, God. I want to finish with Paul's scripture, then pray, if I may. So just zone into these next couple of minutes. It is what Paul rejoices over in Romans chapter 8. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now open your hands to the Lord this morning as we pray. Because I tell you a truth. I tell you a truth. We might not feel under too much threat as things stand in the UK. But persecution, if it is not here, it is coming. So I want to pray for you today. that whatever shape or form that comes your way, you'll be ready to withstand even the fiery darts of the enemy. Even when it comes down to spiritual warfare, that battle of the mind, that battle within, you are prepared, you are equipped, you are ready for battle. We are not going in naked. We're not going in undressed. We're going in absolutely equipped. So Father, everyone say Father. One thing I want you to say with me is this. Help me. Everyone say, help me, Father. Let me pray. Father, help me to remain strong during persecution. Father, let me keep my faith strong until the very end. Father, would you anoint me with the oil of gladness to continue sharing the gospel, the good news throughout the world? Father, help me to respond to hateful situations with a godly attitude. Father, when circumstances are rough and rash, help me to respond positively so the devil can be ashamed and your name can be glorified. Father, empower me through the Holy Spirit to remain your child until the end of my life so that I can be qualified to rejoice with you and the angels in heaven. And Father, listen. If I do not trust you, who else can I trust? Father, my goal is to trust you whatever the conditions. Therefore, I pray that you will please now endow me with your grace to trust you. Father, empower me through your Holy Spirit to confide and invite you into all the situations of my life so I can develop, so I can grow, so I can prosper. And Father, hey, Lord, please bless me. And Father, please let me enjoy your goodness throughout all the days of my life. And finally, Dad, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command the challenges of my life to bow. I'll say that again. Father, I command in the name of Jesus to command the challenges of my life to bow. I rebuke Satan. I command him now in the name of Jesus to remove his dirty, filthy, stinking hands from our lives. We command in the name of Jesus sickness and poverty. We command failure and sin and all the works of Satan to cease in our life now in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, I obtain my victory today. Hallelujah. I obtain my victory tomorrow. I gain and receive my victory now and forevermore in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the church says amen and amen. And God bless you all.
Thank you, Pastor.